Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel. Please join me in the psalmody that is printed responsively for us. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplications. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear me. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Our scripture reading for today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatian congregations, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever wondered if there's someone that you learn about in the Bible and read about frequently that you think it'd be fun to meet them, but we don't know much about them? There are a lot of people in Scripture who seem to play some interesting roles in things in the life of Christ, for instance, but we don't really know much about them. I think of the man who donates his donkey for Jesus to ride in on Palm Sunday, or the family that probably owned the upper room where the Lord's Supper was celebrated. The man healed of leprosy, the 1 in 10 that came back to thank Jesus. Or maybe the man who was paralyzed and was healed in that room. So a lot of times we hear about these individuals we don't know a lot more about. It'd be fun to know kind of the backstory. Maybe someday in heaven we'll get to know that. I don't know if we're going to care about it once we're in heaven, but to find out about that. And I often think about the woman at the alms box in Jerusalem, the widow giving her few little coins. And even though it was such a tiny, insignificant seeming thing, how our Lord Jesus magnifies that and shows how God had noticed this and her gift and knew everything about her life as well. On the judgment scene, Jesus, when describing the judgment scene, uses that line, "When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink." Think how insignificant that seems to do for someone, and yet that's something that God on Judgment Day will bring up as a beautiful fruit of faith in the hearts of his believers. In the letter to the Galatians, St. Paul has been expounding on the wonderful, beautiful salvation, or the teaching of salvation by grace, that we are declared right before God, justified because of the work that our Savior has done for us. And at the end of his letter, just like he often does in his letters, he also addresses the lives of the believers, those who trust in that wonderful Savior. And sometimes we might be tempted to think that, well, my life doesn't really mean anything to God because Christ has taken care of everything for me, and he certainly has. But St. Paul makes it very clear that, no, God also pays attention to how we live our lives, and it's something that we need to be careful with as well. So Paul is here warning believers in Christ, followers of him, to be also careful with how they go through their life in this world. And those who've been blessed to know Christ as their Savior, they've been taught that through him and his work, all their sins have been wiped away and cleaned before God. They have the perfect holy record that they need to be led into heaven because of the work of their Savior. His sacrifice on the cross has taken care of all of that for us. And earlier, I love the passage where Paul says, "We have received the adoption as sons. God has made you an heir." And I think what that means for us, that we get to, just like if someone were to have you inherit something and you have earthly possessions, that we get to inherit heaven. You're an heir of heaven now through Christ. So how you live now, your spiritual life, is also still under the watchful eye of God as you go through life in this world. And God loves to look down into our lives, just like Jesus with that woman outside the alms box. And he loves to see daily activity of good that we do toward others. He loves to see in the lives of his saints how this faith works out in their lives. And as Christians, we've been blessed with this heart of faith, this new man in us, the Bible calls it, that loves the things of God and knows what is right and good. And there's a magnet in us to want to go do that and so on. But we also struggle with our sinful flesh. We also struggle with the temptations of things in this world. Now, let's be very clear. We do not gain heaven in any way by anything we do in our life. Our Lord Jesus has taken care of that fully and completely. But we are able to forfeit and throw aside that wonderful gift by being careless with our spiritual lives. And that can really be a temptation in our youth. Trust me, it's a temptation all the way, my age as well. But it can really be a powerful temptation when we are young. And to maybe act kind of careless with God's grace, to just take it for granted, and to treat it as something we can kind of play around with. Paul knows that it can be a challenge for us to live out our lives in this world with all of its temptations. And to be honest, sometimes it can be exhausting to be a Christian. It can be exhausting. It's a continuous, relentless recognizing our sin, repenting, knowing we're forgiven, hearing what Christ has done, loving that, and then falling again. And it's a constant circle and challenge in our life. And what Paul is addressing here, sometimes it can get too demanding, or we can get so callous to it that we feel like, well, I can just go live any way I want and not care about what God says about my life. He gives us a pretty sharp warning at the beginning. He says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. God is not mocked. The word for mocking God here is actually, it means to turn up your nose at God. Like, it's no big deal. Kind of act like that. Dr. Kretzmann, Paul Kretzmann said this, it is impossible to sneer at God with impunity. He will not be despised. So that's what Paul is kind of warning us, not to just take God's grace for granted, not to just act like we can be frivolous with how we live our lives. So St. Paul is especially giving encouragement here to Christians as to how they are with fellow Christians inside of, as members of this holy Christian church, as members who believe in Christ. He says, let us do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Remember, these are the people we're going to be in heaven together with. These are the ones who likewise, like us, have been given this precious gift of faith in our Savior and had our sins wiped away before God. We're dressed in the white robe of Christ's righteousness that we will see clearly when we're finally in heaven. So we should be doing good to all people in the world, anywhere that we can, but especially to those who are dressed in the same robes that we have, this same righteous record that we have because of our Savior. There's a bond that by faith we have not only in Christ and with Christ, but there's also a bond with those who belong to Him and others who love Him and live in that grace. I love the story, and if you think about the life of Moses, Moses in the Old Testament, remember, was raised in the palace of the Pharaoh and learned all the ways of the Pharaohs, probably had the best education that Egypt offered, which was probably the most grand dynasty at the time, and lived in the wealth and riches of all of that. And yet when the time finally came for God to take them out of Egypt, his children of Israel, and chose Moses to lead them, this is what the book of Hebrews says. Moses chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. That's a great line. He'd rather go with this little despised flock that was going back to the promised land and to leave with them who had been slaves than to continue living in the pleasures that he had there in Egypt. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking to the reward, meaning heaven. And by faith, you and I belong to that same band of people, even though in this world sometimes they look kind of miserable. Christians don't look like that great a thing. But we've been blessed to be part of that same band. And God loves to see it when we especially take care of each other and help each other and encourage each other in this wonderful life of faith. So clothed in the robe of Christ's holy righteousness, God loves to look down into our lives and to see the times when we show that we're connected to that wonderful Savior just by how we treat other people. Just like parents who have taught their children to be charitable, and when they see their children then actually doing acts of charity that they didn't tell them to do, and it just spontaneously came out on their own, boy, does that make parents glad. It's like, that's a wonderful sense. That's how God is when He looks at those whom He has blessed with the gift of faith. And when He sees them doing acts of charity and kindness to people, that gladdens His heart. This is what Dr. C.F.W. Walther says. The acts of kindness and love which we do here may seem so little, like droplets of water in the ocean, but in heaven, they are like pearls in a crown. So, I close with the words that we read in Revelation. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them. Their works don't lead them into heaven. That's Christ. But their works follow them. Amen. Please rise for prayer. And today we have a prayer for the Wohler family. On Friday, Diane Fetzer, the mother of Professor Denise Wohler and mother-in-law of Professor Eric Wohler and grandmother of Riley, Olivia, and Claire, was called to her eternal home. So we have a prayer for them. Our gracious Father in heaven, in your wisdom, you have called out of this life your child, Diane. We thank and praise you for giving her the knowledge of Christ and his wonderful resurrection. We are grateful for all the blessings that you brought into the lives of her children and grandchildren. Be with them now in this time of sorrow and comfort them with the hope of the reunion of all of your saints above. We ask this in Christ's saving name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in his peace. Amen.